The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to today's service. Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. And whether you're new with us, checking us out, or if you've been kicking around for a while, we are so glad that you're able to join us. As we light the Christ candle today, let's pray. Holy God, let your light shine on your world today. May it shine into each heart, illuminating the shadows we each keep hidden there. Jesus, shine your love light in us and through us, and make us courageous by the power of your Holy Spirit, able to lift our heads and hearts to love others with open and honest hearts as you have called us to do, for your name's sake. Amen. Would you please join me in the call to worship today? Friends of God, believe this. God loved the world. God loves the world. We are the beloved. May the truth of this great love story shine through our worship today and renew our sense of calling. So come with your tiredness, your frustrations and your discouragements. Come with your doubts and fears and your longings. We come to discover yet again how Jesus reveals God's love and mercy. Come in friendship to God and to each other, and in friendship to the world, to listen for God's word to us, to offer our prayers, and to renew our calling. Friends of God, let's worship. We know from Scripture that God forgives our sins when we honestly acknowledge them, bring them to Him, and repent. We turn away. We literally turn 180 degrees away from our sinful ways. So together, let's pray our prayer of confession. Loving God, we confess that at times we are an impatient and selfish people. When you offer us the promise of a new future, we complain that it's not coming fast enough. When you provide for our needs, we complain that it isn't enough. And when our attitudes and negative outlooks cause us to stumble, sometimes we blame you. Holy God, forgive our sinful ways. Teach us to be patient. Instruct us to be grateful. Guide us to be responsible and humble. As we turn ourselves around and look to the cross, let us experience your grace and your gift of life anew today. In the name of Christ our Saviour, we pray. Amen.
Friends, hear the words of Psalm 72. Blessed be the Lord our God, who does wondrous things. The most wondrous of all of these is God's entry into our world in Jesus Christ, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Friends, this is the good news. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven and set free to live the life God created us for. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Thanks be to God.
So Lent is a season when many of us make some adjustments in our day-to-day lives. Some of us give something up for Lent. Others of us start to engage in a new intentional spiritual practice over these weeks. The point of these efforts is actually the same. It's to create more space in our lives for us to be able to focus on God, and to pay attention to the ways that God might be inviting us to draw closer to him. With the help of these practices, many people actually find that Lent can be a season when we actually take significant steps in our faith. It's a time when we can go deeper as we discover more about God and about God's love and care for us. Now, sometimes that growth comes in entirely new ways. But other times, it happens as we discover a new layer to something that is already quite familiar to us. The Holy Spirit takes something that we've known for a long time and shows us that there is more to it than we've realized before. Well, I'm wondering if that last description might be part of what might happen for us today as we come to our scripture reading. This passage picks up in the middle of a conversation that was already going on between Jesus and a leader from the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is obviously curious about Jesus and about whether he might be the one God has called to restore Israel to its glory days. Nicodemus doesn't ask this directly of Jesus, and so then perhaps fittingly, Jesus doesn't particularly answer him directly. In fact, most of what Jesus did answer wouldn't make any sense to Nicodemus until much later. One of the things that Jesus did say in that answer has actually ended up becoming one of the best recognized scripture verses from all of the New Testament, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. I wonder, as I was saying those words, if maybe your lips were moving along with mine. This one verse is so well known. It has been a memory verse in countless Christian education lessons. It's regularly quoted by evangelists and preachers. It's even the topic of public signage, like this one. Some of you may know that Simon and I actually studied at Washington State University, and so of course Cougar football games were a regular part of campus life for us. I can honestly say that at every football game I attended, without exception, there was always someone like this fellow in the stands holding up a sign that said John 3:16. And that was all it said. That was all it needed to say. We knew the point, whether we were churchgoers or not. But here's the other thing I thought I knew. I thought if I dared to get close to the dude with the sign, or worse yet, actually spoke to him, I was pretty sure I would come away with a clear message about how I could avoid going to hell. So, of course, as any good self-respecting college student would, I went to great lengths to avoid the football stand evangelist and his sign. Do not engage. Well, our reading this week contains this very familiar verse, and what I have discovered in those years since my university days is that this verse and the reading that it is a part of hold a lot more than that limited, fairly biased understanding I had all those years ago. Because we know this verse so well, it is quite possible to kind of skip across the top of the words. And when we do that, as I had done, we miss some critical aspects of its message and we risk misunderstanding it altogether. The first foundational thing we must remember as we read all the rest is that God loves this world. Jesus is clearly saying that all that God is doing is driven by that fact. And so because of his love, and because God knows that life in and on this earth is so much less than he dreams for it to be, God has moved decisively to save us and to fix that. So before we get to anything else, we must hear Jesus proclaiming God as a loving God who is moving in incredible ways to save this world he cares about so very deeply. Now back to my old preconceptions about this verse. I honestly am not sure that I understood any of that I just said when I looked at that John 3:16 sign every Saturday afternoon. I seemed to completely miss the part about God loving us. And while I did catch that God was trying to save us, my sense was that the point was about God trying to save me. Maybe I'd heard one too many televangelist sermons, but it never dawned on me that the verse was actually talking about God's love for the whole world and God's desire to save it, not just me. Well, to compound my misunderstanding, as I said earlier, I actually believed that that message was about what God would save me from, namely death and the possibility of eternal existence in some horrible place called hell. I totally missed the real message. The wonderful hope we have that God doesn't just want to save us from something horrible, but rather wants to save us for something truly wonderful. It's my impression that I may not have been the only person to miss this. We are eager for God to save us from the bad stuff. But the truth is, and as this verse tells us, God wants so much more for us than just that. Jesus says it clearly. He repeats himself. He says it in verse 15 and verse 16. Everyone who believes may have eternal life. That whoever believes in him, in the Son, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is clear. God isn't just saving us from death. God is saving us so that we might have life, eternal life, which is so much more than just an escape from death. So now we come to the part I most want to share with you today. I have been in a number of discussions over the last few months where we've been talking about eternal life. Specifically, we've been trying to get our heads around what we mean by that term. Now, most of us would probably say it's life, the life we get to live after we die, when we go to heaven to live with God for eternity. Well, yes and no. Eternal life is life lived with God. And that life will be for eternity. But that life is not meant to be lived, as we often think of it, somewhere else. Often up in the sky, somewhere where our souls are transported to after we die. No, God's plan, God's kingdom mission, is for heaven to somehow happen, to burst out here on a renewed earth. As we all discover this life that he has created us and all of this for. Think of this as the vision of life God had for us way back at creation. It's God's vision of heaven. And it's what this great project has been about since the beginning. It's what it's still all about. And everything God has done and is doing is meant to bring that vision into a reality. Heaven, not somewhere else. Heaven here, in a creation that has been renewed and restored to God's dream for all of it. And so we get to live that life in heaven. And it truly is eternal life. It is the life we were created for, the life that we will thrive in. It will be a life of wholeness and peace, of love and joy, full of all of these wonderful things. But here's the part we sometimes miss. While our great hope is that this world will be living that life in fullness one day, we don't need to just hunker down and wait until that day comes. In fact, we mustn't do that. Friends, Jesus has called us to follow him. We've talked about that a lot here. And as we do that, as we learn to live in these ways of Jesus, we find ourselves ending up joining him in his mission of bringing that heavenly life to our world. It happens. It's what he leads us in. We get to live aspects of that life now. And even more wonderfully, we get to see that life spreading in our world. As love is shared, peace is secured, justice is realized. When we live in ways that join with God in bringing those things to our world, we get tastes of that heavenly, eternal life here and now. And even more, we share that life with this world that God so loves. And oh, it is so good when we do. You've all heard the stories. Stories of people living in ways that bring life and wholeness to others. Stories of love being shared and of lives being restored. Our Kevin shared some stories like that last week in that poem he wrote. Lives being restored. These are stories that give us glimpses of heaven, glimpses of this eternal life that we were all created for, the life we long for. By God's brilliant design, as this beloved verse actually describes, we discover this life God has for us, eternal life, as we let ourselves be drawn into these relationships, relationships that are woven together in love. God loves us and saves us through Jesus. And Jesus lovingly leads us to the life God has for us, a life that is made rich and whole as we share the love we've received with the world. It is in this beautiful rhythm of giving and receiving love, love for God and love for others. It's in that that we actually discover the life we were created for, eternal life, here and now. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, we glorify you as the truth bearer, the giver of light and life. We celebrate you for the hope you bring in restoration and new life for all who choose to follow you. We thank you for your infusion of love to each of us in this difficult time. We thank you for the hope that is beginning to rise as we wait or have received COVID-19 vaccinations. Help each of us to embrace that hope with open arms as we open our hearts and our thoughts to you. We pray that we all stay grounded in your love, whatever our circumstances. For those who are involved with the political, here in our town, and through any town that you live in, we ask you, Lord, to give us the discernment to clearly follow your way with integrity. Help us not to shy away from discomfort in political discussions, and may we be filled with your peace and have the ability to speak clearly. Fill each of those who are in direct service to others to have compassion, needed strength, kindness, and energy. We ask that all people who are dealing with health issues, physical and mental, open their hearts to receive the mantle of your comfort, your peace, and your love. May we always be an extension of that as we offer care to those who are ill. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you again for your faithful gifts that keep the ministries of St. Stephen's in motion. Would you pray the prayer over the gifts with me? Gracious God, your love for us has been demonstrated by the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. With these gifts, we express our love for you. Bless them and those who have given them. We pray that they might be used to carry on your kingdom work in our community and in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As you probably realize, it was 1 year ago this weekend that we were last able to gather in person here to worship together in our sanctuary. It's been a long year. And it feels fitting that maybe we offer a prayer to God together as we reach this landmark and look back and look ahead. So would you join me in prayer? Gracious, loving, ever-present God, we come today keenly aware that it was 1 year ago this weekend that we were last able to be together, face to face, in person, worshiping you with our hearts, minds, souls, and voices. And on that Sunday, we had no idea what the next year would bring. Now, a year later, we have a strange mix of so many emotions. There is grief, there is frustration and weariness, and there is gratitude for surprising blessings. And now, as the vaccines are being given, there's also hope. Hope that, while tentative, seems to be increasing from week to week. So this morning, we bring all of that to you, God. We start by asking for you to comfort us in our grief over all that we have missed in this last year. Ease the ache and soothe our hearts. Help us to find peace in this so that we can begin to move ahead. We also bring great gratitude for all that you have done to sustain us over this last year. Most importantly, we thank you that our deepest fears over what might have happened if this pandemic got into our community, those fears have not been realized. And we can only feel that this has been your grace and your protection over us and our neighbors. And so we thank you for that. And we dare to ask that your care and protection might continue until people have been given their vaccinations and we come out the other side of this pandemic. We thank you also for the faithfulness of our church family over these months, for the ways they have supported, encouraged, prayed for, and just stuck with us in the midst of these very trying times. May they all know the blessing of your joy in them. God, your faithful care of us is amazing, and once again, you have given us such good reason to continue to trust you into our future. So thank you. Thank you for being with us. And we ask for the grace, the wisdom, the patience, and steadfast spirits to sustain us over these next months. Jesus, this is your church. It has always been your church, and it always will be. So we thank you for your never-failing presence with us this past year. And we ask you to guide us as we continue to follow you into this next year and into all that it will hold. In your name, and for the sake of your love being made known in this world, we pray. Amen. Well, Holy Week is fast approaching, and we want you to know that we have preparations in place for online services for throughout that week. We will give you more details about those starting next week, so watch your announcements for them. Also, you will have had an email about a treasure hunt we're planning for Easter weekend. We wanted to give us a chance to do something together when we can't be together. And so we're hoping that this fun activity for all ages might be something that we can join in together. And want to thank the eager response we've had from people volunteering their driveways for this. We've got enough, so thank you for getting back to us quickly. And stay tuned next week for more details on the treasure hunt. We hope you'll all set aside an hour or two on that weekend to be able to take part. Friends, let us rejoice, for God so loves this world. May God, your Maker, send you back out into the next week with creative energies refreshed. May Christ the Light illumine your darkest moments. And may the Holy Spirit of steadfast love guide you until we gather to worship together again, this day and forevermore. Amen.